The way you have to do that is you have to immerse yourself in the business. If you want to go to the top, you immerse yourself. You learn everything. You get on every conference call that you have access to so you can learn, and you listen to those leaders that are teaching you. You go to every convention you can possibly get to, every regional convention. Every time you get a chance to rub shoulders with other successful people, you do that. You read motivational books. You read what other people put into a book form that, and say, this is what made me a success. And this is what I suggest. And you learn from other people. As long as you're learning and doing everything you can go to the top if you have the drive and want to go to the top.
Welcome to the Ken Brelsford Podcast. In today's episode, Ken talks about what it takes to become a leader in network marketing, especially the importance of personal development. Some of the topics he talks about are goals, understanding your why, time management, character development, creating good habits, and also making a manifesto for yourself, a set of guiding principles that will direct your life. We hope you enjoy this episode. Ken, we've got you in the studio today to talk about what it is that you've seen over the last 45 plus years in network marketing and what truly makes somebody a leader, somebody that really becomes successful in this industry. And one of the categories that we wanted to break down in this particular episode is the importance of personal development. You want to talk a little bit about that to start out?
Well, there's things you can learn in any industry. MLM in particular, you have to maximize everything you're doing if you want to be truly successful in a major way. First of all, I mean, you have to decide, what do I want out of this? How much money do I want? Money's a gauge of how many people you're reaching. Hopefully you're not driven, certainly in a company like ours, by money by itself, other than as a tool that measures your success. The more success, more people you're reaching, the better your paycheck will be. Is this business that you're doing, is it a sideline just to augment your income? Or is it your main income? Is it going to be that? And so if it's going to be that and you want to be tremendously successful, then you have to gain all the personal skills you can gain by learning and observing the people that are making the biggest checks in the different companies or people around you, and then learn from them. What do they do that sets them apart from everybody else? And so you learn. Nobody comes into this kind of a business or any business without having to learn from somebody. Perhaps you can call them a mentor or mentors. In this industry, you need a lot of mentors. Maybe the people that sponsor you, maybe they're not really that strong and not doing that well. You have to go upline and find the ones that are really being successful and pattern yourself after them.
So the most successful ones, really, truly, they're not coming in arrogant and thinking that they know how this whole thing works. They are looking for people that can teach them.
People that get that arrogancy in their mind are usually end up being the biggest failures, in my opinion, from what I've observed. They stub their toe. They think they've got all the answers. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to work with them. They think they're better than everybody else. You have to be humble. You have to be willing to learn. You have to know that you don't have all of the answers. So you're going to follow, again, those people that are successful and learn from them. What do they do that I can adopt and make myself successful and pattern myself after them? I've so often said that usually you cannot be any better than those people that have brought you into the business. They're gonna set the path for you and the pace. If you sign up under a weak person that won't give you the time of day after they get your signature on the piece of paper in your first order, they just expect you to do everything, you're going to have a hard time learning and going ahead of them. Now, if their upline is really strong, you can go to the upline and they will work with you and help you. That's okay. But generally, when you bring people into your business, just assume, look at yourself and say, they're not going to be any better than I am. So if I want them to be successful, and I would hope nobody would sign up somebody just to sign them up and not do the best they can to help them to gain their goals and what they want to achieve,
right,
and be successful. And so you have to learn and build yourself so that you'll be the mentor to the people you bring in.
Okay. So let's say that somebody comes in to this industry, comes in as a distributor, and maybe they're not really up to that the higher level. They're not really optimized. They're not really at a successful level. What we want to do is, I think, talk a little bit about how they can develop some of those skills, some of those traits that that put them up there, right?
Well, you have to, the way you have to do that is you have to immerse yourself in the business. If you want to go to the top, you immerse yourself. You learn everything. You get on every conference call that you have access to, so you can learn, and you listen to those leaders that are teaching you. You go to every convention you can possibly get to, every regional convention. Every time you get a chance to rub shoulders with other successful people, you do that. You read motivational books. You read what other people have put into a book form and say, this is what made me a success, and this is what I suggest. And you learn from other people. As long as you're learning and doing everything you can go to the top if you have the drive and want to go to the top.
Okay. Well, let's get into some specifics. First thing that we actually outlined here is to tap into some of the systems or the routines that help make somebody successful. What are some of the things that you've seen people do in the past?
That you have to find out what works and keep repeating it over and over and over and over again. And so if it's if you need to get on a conference call and you're on there every day and you're learning, when you sign up people, you make sure they're getting into that routine and that system. They do three-way calls and you've learned how to do that, you make sure they're doing three-way calls. Whatever your routines are that you've adopted because they've made you a success, then you have to pattern your people after those routines. Now, you may sign up some people that are not interested in the big bucks. Maybe they're just they're either maybe only consumers.
Okay.
That's all that matters. That's fine. They have to decide what level they want to go to. Or maybe they're saying, I need another 500 or 1,000 a month. Once I get there, I'm fine. I don't care about going to any more. You may get some people that want to go to the conventions and regional conventions just because they like to socialize with people. It's a family. And if you view everybody as being part of the same family, you can feed off of each other and help each other. So those routines, you develop routines in this business from the day you sign up. You start to develop either good routines or bad routines. Bad routine might be, I'm tired this morning. I'm not going to listen to that conference call today. I'll catch it next week or tomorrow or whenever they have it. You can't do that. You've got to force yourself to be the best you can be, and that means your routine has to go on and on and on and on to be a success, whatever those routines are.
Okay. So let's actually peel it away from the business for a minute, and what kind of personal routines, maybe routines that you have in your daily life that propel you to be a success. So you wake up every day, you know that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, and if you don't do those, you're just not going to be quite where you want to be. What are some of those things for you?
Well, I'll tell you the first thing I do generally in the morning, unless I forget, which isn't too often, I get up and make the bed. That makes me a success the first thing I do in the morning. I've succeeded at something. It starts my day off very well that way. So that's how my day begins. And then I have various things I have to do, being an owner of many businesses. And I already know before I go to bed that night what I've got to do tomorrow. And they become my routine for the next day. They're always the same things.
So that's part of your routine is that you set at the very end of the day, you know what you're going into.
I know what's going to be tomorrow, what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. Now, there may be some curveballs thrown at me here and there, and I have to take a little detour, but then I get back onto that and move forward again. And so by the time I go home at night, I try to shut off all the business that I've done during the day. I need my personality such, I just need to sit down and read, which is a hobby of mine, read or relax and certainly visit with my wife. Our kids are all grown and out of the home. Or sometimes just going to a movie and doing something like that. That's part of my routine. You can't do business all the time or you're going to go crazy. You've got to have, and part of your routines are, I need to relax. I've got to be able to sleep well at night. I just read a whole thick, it wasn't a book, but a magazine that we picked up in a grocery store when we left Arizona on the mind and what's going on with research on the mind. One of the things that they talk about in there is that those people that don't get a full night's sleep and get into the REM sleep, whether they have sleep apnea or whatever it is that keeps them from sleeping well, they're going to have a lot of depression and anxiety. And so if you get into depression and anxiety, how are you going to succeed the next day? You're too dang tired and you're ornery. You know, so you've got to get a good night's sleep. That's part of my routine. That doesn't mean I get a good night's sleep every night. Sometimes I can't shut my mind off.
Right.
There's something that my mind's working on trying to solve the problem. That's part of my routine, too. I try not to do that during sleep time because then I get half the sleep that I need. I know how much sleep I need.
Right.
And it isn't 4 hours a night. My mother could do that fine and never be tired. I can't do that. My body needs 8-9 hours of sleep, and then I can function and hit on all 8 cylinders. But you have to have those routines, even if they're not business routines, because they contribute to you. Relaxing, sleeping well at night, socializing, whatever it is, you've got to have those routines and systems built into your pattern also to be at the best success that you can be.
Well, one of the things that you just mentioned when you talk about how much sleep you know that you need every night, part of that is you actually know who you are. You know, you're paying attention to yourself, and you're really tapped into what your own personal needs are, and so you're aware of yourself.
I think I've always believed this, that our body will talk to us and tell us what we need over time if we'll listen to it.
Okay.
Problem that most people have is they don't listen to their body. You get used to listening to your body, and I will know things in advance because I've learned to listen to my body before they become whether it's a health issue or something else. I will know where I've got problems. And, you know, I take supplements and all the different things, products in my companies that really build my health. And for my age, I've been told a number of times I'm a lot younger acting than I really am for my years. And I attribute that to good sleep. I try to eat nutritionally, proper supplements, good sleep at night. The routines that are outside of business that you have to have.
Okay. Well, next, what we want to do is talk a little bit about goal setting. So item number 2 is goal setting. So how important is goal setting in your personal life to help you with your professional life?
Well, you have to set goals. I believe you have to set goals in everything you do if you want to be successful, whether it's outside of business or it's within your business. If you're a distributor, what are my goals? Here's an example. Years ago, I was a stockbroker. And when I became a stockbroker, I wanted to make $10,000 my first month. That was my goal, short-term goal. You have to have short-term.
That was a while ago, too.
It's more like $20,000 or $30,000 now. And it was a lofty goal for the time, but I knew I could achieve it. I just, again, listening to your body, I know I can achieve that, and I'm willing to pay the price. I made over $10,000 the first month. If I hadn't have had a goal, I might have been content with $5,000 or $4,000 or something. But by goals, they drive you on if you're driven. You have to be driven if you want to go to the top. See, the humanity is like a pyramid. How many people, if humanity is like a pyramid, how many people get to the top? Is it the bottom, and it's sitting on the pinnacle down at the bottom, and the top is big, all the people? No, it's just the opposite. You know, most people can't fight their way up that pyramid. And it's not that's what you're trying to do in a conscious effort, because not everybody's going to be at the top. That success is driven by many factors. It doesn't mean you have to be the top or you've failed. It doesn't mean you have to be the richest man in the world, like Bill Gates. Where is your top? What is your ability? What can you become? Success means you've done the very best you can do and arrive where you can. Is it halfway up the pyramid? That can be a great success. It might be a couple $100,000 a year income halfway up that pyramid. I think it's probably higher, but And these goals help you achieve that. Where do I want to be? What is my success level? Where am I going to be dissatisfied? And you have to know yourself and know what your capabilities are to do that.
So there are a lot of goals programs out there, and that's not really what this is about, is, you know, teaching people exactly how to set goals. But what kinds of things have worked for you as far as setting goals for you? What kind of a process do you go through?
I'm probably different than a lot of people. I don't write my goals down. Everybody tells you to write them down. I just know what they are.
But you also have a really good memory, too.
Well, I used to have a good memory. I'm getting older. It's getting a little harder to remember everything. But I do remember my goals. I know where I want to go with business, what I want to achieve. And again, in business, I don't have to be the most successful man in business in the world. I don't know that I'm as smart as some of the people that get there. But I do know I have a capability to get up there quite high compared to most people probably. Just because I've learned how to drive myself. I've practiced things that gave me skills as a youth, where I played board games constantly by myself and learned skills. And you think, how do you learn skills when you're playing six players all at once? Well, I did. And I just hated it when my mother called me for dinner because I had to interrupt my game. But I was an only child, so I think sometimes being an only child drives you in a different direction than maybe if you have a bunch of siblings.
Okay.
And it certainly did me.
All right.
So those kind of things got me to the point where, okay, I know where I want to go. I know what I want to do. And I'm not going to be satisfied until I arrive there.
Do you, in your mind, do you break that down a little bit more? So you've got a lofty goal of where you want to be. So let's take that experience as being a broker. You had $10,000 you wanted to get to. Did you know what you needed to do to get there, to make that happen?
I had to contact a lot of people and sell a lot of stock. That's what I knew. And I also got to become a market maker in securities. So I knew what that meant. And I've always been interested in the stock market since my first days in college. I bought three stocks in college, one share of two different companies and three shares of one, adding up to, at that time, to about $100. That's all I had. But I made money on every one of them, and that really locked me in to wanting to make money in the stock market. So I've done a lot over the years in the stock market, and I've learned how to do it. And going back to that experience, it was a little bit different than just buying stocks and hoping they go up and make money that way. When you're a market maker, you hope you're buying low and selling high. If you're not, you're not going to be a market maker in stocks very long. And so I loved the experience, and I just dived in and did it. But I knew where I wanted to be. I mean, my second month, I always looked at my months. Said, okay, if I made $10,000 last month, then I want to make 20, or I want to make a lot more this month than I did the previous month. Now, that's not sustainable, certainly in that business, long term. There's only so much one person can do. But I, as long as I was in that business, I was continually increasing that amount of money.
Well, I think there's a key point here that you're always growing your goals. So if you achieve your goal, you always end up growing that.
Well, you've got to rethink. Now, if I did this, why can't I do more next time, next month? I didn't start out in that business, or really in any business, say, you know, I want to make $1 million a month. I did look at a famous broker who got himself in trouble with the law, and he got put in jail. Won't mention his name, but at one point he had a whole bunch of people around him in his office, and he made $250,000 a year. That's a pretty lofty goal, But when I see somebody like that in any business, or multi-level or any business, I say, look, if he can do get to that level, I'm just as smart as he can. I can get there too. And so in a lot of ways, other people's success drove me and said, look, I'm as smart as him. I can get to that position.
Okay.
And so that would drive me and pull me along. I never did get to $250 million a month. I mean, a year. That would have been phenomenal in that business. I didn't get there, but that wasn't really what I was trying to achieve. I was just trying to make a lot of money for what I was doing, and I did. And And I grew. I got to the point where that was as far as I could go with that. But
okay.
So you have to push yourself, and you have to be willing to pay the price, I guess, if you want to truly be successful.
Okay. So next item up is time management. How important is time management for your personal development?
Well, you've got to have time to develop yourself, whether it's reading books about other people and the successes they had. I like history books too. I've read some of them about the founding fathers. That, you know, what did these men? What price were they willing to pay? Except they did it for the whole nation, not just for themselves. They put their whole wealth on the line for the country. They could have lost it all. And so you read inspiring books like that that helps you. So you have to have you have to take your time and say, okay, I've got to have this much time for that. I've got to have this much time to work and put everything into practice. I've got to have this much time for that. And you know kind of what it is. It's not all the same for me every day because my time limits are different. Work sometimes takes longer. I'm traveling sometimes. Can't get to everything. Certain things I want to do every day. I want to read the scriptures every day. I try to do that. I'm not 100% successful, depending on my schedule. But by and large, I am. I want to read other things. I want to watch the news. I want to stay up on the news, so I'll watch the news almost every night and try to stay on top of current events. Those are important. Those impact us in business and things, too. Everything that Congress and the president does affects us on how we can be successful. It can be limiting, or it can be in a way that will help push us higher. Maybe through the tax policy, if they got rid of a lot of burdensome taxes, businesses could grow and be more profitable, create more jobs, create more prosperity for everybody, gives everybody more opportunities to wherever they fit in that pyramid to maybe even go higher in the pyramid because of more policies that are more effective for them.
Okay.
And helpful.
So there's a lot of things going back to and looking at time management in this way. There are a lot of things that are out there that are distracting or that can be distracting, keep people from what their goals are. And what kind of recommendations do you have for people to limit some of those things that end up distracting them and helping them to focus?
Well, the way I do it is I don't do a lot of things that are not productive in one way or the other, at least in my mind. My neighbor might say, gosh, why is he know so much about politics? Is he wasting too much time listening to the news? I mean, but then there are people that don't listen to it at all, and they don't have a clue what's going on around them. And so you pick and choose what's going to work best for you. Everybody's a little bit different. But you establish these routines, these systems you talked about, develop over decades of time. You know, what your systems and routines were when you were a 20-year-old are certainly different than when you're a 70-year-old. And you have to, you mature, you grow, you develop, you come within the systems, and you get rid, if you truly want to be successful, you get rid of the things that are going to hold you back. And maybe sometimes it might be the friends. It's said that you become a conglomerate of the five people that you associate yourself with the most. And if you've got people that are failures in life and that's who you're with all the time, good chance you're going to be a failure. If you're around five successful leaders and people, good chance are a lot of that's going to rub off and help you to become successful. That's why one of the things I love about MLM, you have the opportunity to be around some of the most successful people in the country. You know, your upline, your strong upline. You get yourself around them, learn what they're doing, and follow their example, you'll go right up to the top. But if you follow the example of those that are grumbling all the time or negative, or they're making $100 a month and saying what the company ought to do, for instance, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't hear the leaders grumbling and complaining and blaming everything on the company or on somebody else. That what the good leader does, he says, gee, I made a mistake. I'm gonna back up and I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm going to find the way that works.
So leaders they talk positive.
They're always talking positive. There's a saying in multi-level marketing that Everything that you feed downline from you to your organization is positive. If you have a complaint or a problem, it goes upline, specifically to the company, because a good, strong company will look to their leaders to feed the things that they can do better and make the company stronger that benefits everybody. But you don't want negativity going downline, and you'll destroy your people. You don't want to do anything in life that destroys people or hurts them. You want to build them.
So as an entrepreneur, and that's really in network marketing, everybody really is truly an entrepreneur. And that's one of those things, one of your missions in life has been to help people create more opportunity for themselves. And you're creating a lot of entrepreneurs. What are some of the things that you recommend for people that they don't necessarily rely on their job, or they might do this, they might be doing this on the side, but as an entrepreneur, what kinds of things would you recommend for them to work on and developing aside of what we've talked about?
Learn how to create opportunities for yourself. What makes money? Buying low, selling high. What can I do that's going to make me money? I've got to find things I can buy low and sell high. Multi-level marketing is great. It's free enterprise and probably its purest form. Because you create your own destiny. You can't blame your success or lack of success on anybody but yourself. And so you learn, what do I do in this industry that's going to make me money? I'm buying product from the company. That's buying low. I turn around. I sell it to other people by sponsoring them, getting them involved, getting them to consume the product. That's making me money. Equivalent to selling high. So you become an entrepreneur, you're going to look for ways to make money, whether it's in this industry, whether it's in a different business or not. And if you happen to be listening and you work for somebody else, let me just give you a real clue. An employer is going to look at you and he's going to say, I'm paying him $100,000 a month or whatever you're being paid, a year, whatever you're being paid. And they're going to say, is he making me more money than that? Or is it less? If it's less, you're going to find yourself unemployed real soon. You have to be, when you work for someone else, and this applies to MLM, you're working for the whole organization. You have to earn more than what you're getting, especially in MLM, because the pools are being shared with everybody to a certain extent. And you want everybody's income to rise. That's entrepreneurship in its purest form.
Wow. Okay. So that's really the end of what we're talking about in this particular episode, but I want to pay attention to one thing that you've actually put out, Ken, and that is that you've written a book and giving an accounting of your life and what made you who you are. But another thing that you did recently is that you wrote a manifesto, and it's called The Entrepreneur's Roadmap, and it's really some of your best ideas, some of your best thinking about what it is to put your life on track. Those little things that we're talking about today, about personal development, about setting goals, about reading the right things, about being around the right people. And in the very end of it, you actually tell people how they can develop and create their own manifesto.
Well, a manifesto is basically the points in life that are meaningful to you, that help to get you where you're at as far as they were developed. Nobody has 100 points or 100 whatever in a manifesto and 100% in all 100. You know, we're all humans. We only have so much time, 24 hours in a day, et cetera. But these are things that help drive you and develop you and grow you to a certain point. Everybody should have one. You can learn from perhaps my manifesto or other great people's manifestos and say, look, I like that principle. I'm going to make that part of my life and start creating your own from 1 to 100 over life. When you're 70-some years old, you know, you've got a lot of them. When you're 20, you might only have a handful of them, and you're still looking and growing and trying to figure life out and where your destiny is. So manifestos are great. One of the things I did with my book called My Life Encapsulated was try to take instances out of my life that were very, I'll call them spiritual to me in a sense that they made me grow. I wrote things in there that even some, my family didn't know some of these things, but I felt like, and if I'm going to share these things, I got to be real honest about my experiences in life, hoping that other people can see themselves in those experiences and grow. The purpose of writing a book for me is not to make money. I didn't make any money on that book. I'm going to lose money on it. But I wanted to help other people. I felt driven to write that book because I've learned a lot of things. I had a very wise man tell me once, he says, are you teaching your kids all these things? You've got all these years of experience. Are you teaching your kids or have you taught your kids all these things? And honestly, I probably hadn't a lot of them.
Okay.
And so we go through life, and if we're not careful, then we're dead. And how far down the generations they even remember us? Our kids will. How about our grandkids? Older ones will probably remember you, but not a lot about your life. Great-grandchildren, I look back on my life. I don't remember any of my great-grandparents. I remember my grandparents. I was very close to two of them. And the others I knew very well.
Right.
But I don't know beyond that. And I don't have any written record either of that. So I wrote the book for kind of a written record and a lot of important things in my life and to help other people. So I really wrote that book to help other people to get ideas on how they can improve their life and in the process bring them closer to God, which I feel is extremely important if we're going to be successful in life in a major way.
Okay.
Can't do it without him.
Right. Well, what's interesting is it just reminded me of one other thing that you'd written on your blog a little while back, and that is the importance of keeping a journal and keeping that record. So it's just a nice little reminder of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to let everybody know that if you are interested in getting a copy of either Ken's book, you can go to kenbrailsford.com and pick it up there. That is My Life Encapsulated by Ken Brailsford. And then if you're looking to get a copy of this manifesto that we're talking about, you can just go to Ken's website, and there's a place to sign up for his email list, and we will send you a free digital copy of that manifesto. So for everybody who's interested in picking up a copy of that, and like I said, there's an interesting part at the end, Ken, where you teach people and show them the process that you went through in writing your manifesto of how they can create their own, and it becomes a very powerful tool for them. Well, we hope you enjoyed that interview. To find out more about Ken, visit kenbrailsford.com.